Welcome to the Elijah Streams podcast. Our mission is to encourage you in your faith through a unique blend of patriotism and prophecy. And now, here's your host, Steve Schultz.
Hey everyone, welcome to Elijah Streams. Today is Wednesday, June 24th, 2026. I'm Kelsey O'Malley, filling in for Steve Schultz. We are pre-recording the show today. Dave Hayes is joining me for a special episode of Prophets and Patriots, where he's going to talk all about AI. And what do we do as AI becomes more and more powerful? Are there guardrails set into place to keep us safe? What's going on with the data centers? Is there anything new happening within Q? He's, of course, going to talk about that too. But before we get started, here's one of our water well videos showing you where your generous donations go when you help us dig freshwater wells in Uganda.
Before clean water, there was a prayer, a mother asking God for help. All they had was water that would make them sick. So they prayed. And somewhere across the world, God moved through people like you. And everything changed. Clean water flowed for the very first time. But there are many out there still praying. Donate online at elijahstreams.com/donate. Or mail a check today to Elijah Streams, 525 2nd Avenue Southwest, Suite 629, Albany, Oregon 97321.
You know, we want to be that someone, and I know you want to be that someone too. And today you can go online to elijahstreams.com/donate. You can text the word give to 541-237-0303. You can scan the QR code you see right now up on your screen, or you can send in your check by mail to the address on the screen. And thank you again so much for loving those who you may never get to hear a thank you from, but I think that's the way God intended it to be, right? We don't let our left hand know what our right hand's doing. So thank you again so much for your support. And you're helping so many precious children get the gift of clean water. All right, well, thank you, Angie, again. I'm so bad at remembering this flyer. We are going to Uganda to celebrate the 1,000th water well. That's going to be such an incredible celebration. If it's been on your heart, you're like, hey, I really think I want to go. Now's the time to sign up to go. You can go to showmercy.org/Elijah Streams Uganda. That's a lot to type in. But if you go to showmercy.org, there will be a place where you can click on that trip for the Uganda 1,000th water well. And that's going to be absolutely amazing with Stephen Doreen, Mike and Lori, Yvonne and Mina, and Michael be there as well. And I know you'll just have a wonderful time ministering and really getting to love on so many precious people. All right, well, my guest today is a former atheist. He was an EMT paramedic for 35 years. He met Jesus in a bunk room at the fire station, and now he is an author. He loves to write and share all about Jesus. He also is very good at helping us understand what is going on with Q and Q drops. So please help me welcome to the show today, Dave Hayes.
Eric called me and said, hey, what are your top five favorite Christian broadcasts? He asked, and I said, you got to get on Elijah Streams. You got to do it. Steve's great. You got to get on his show.
Hey, Dave, welcome to Prophets and Patriots. So good to have you on today.
Thank you for having me on the show. Always a pleasure to come and hang out and talk Q and politics and whatever else is going on in the world.
All right. So share with me what's new on the Q front. There's been a little bit of exciting things happening. You were telling me before we started. So go ahead and share with everybody.
Yes, there are some things happening. All right, so here's up front. Q has not posted anything recently. It's been 3.5 years since Q posted anything. However, there are some interesting things happening that are Q adjacent with the White House and other agencies, federal agencies. So I'll give you kind of just a quick overview. In January of this year, the Department of Labor X account began posting some memes, patriotic memes, with well-known Q phrases such as trust the plan, Patriots are in control. Things that Q made popular, you know, 6 years ago. So when we saw that going on, we were like, okay, what is going on with this Department of Labor hexagon? Like, they're posting Q memes. And they did it for, they posted four posts over the course of about 10 days in January.
Okay.
And then occasionally we would see some other government agency post a Q-related post, kind of just, we took it as a little bit of a wink. Those of us who are following Q, who are patriots, are like, oh, okay, well, the White House, you know, the Trump administration is letting us know, hey, guys, we haven't forgotten about you. So let's see, we're in June, we're near the end of June. In May, the Department of War Chief Technology Officer, so this is the guy who's in charge of all of the advanced technology that the Pentagon is developing and procuring. I watched an interview with this guy with, I think he interviewed Palmer Luckey. And Palmer Luckey is a CEO of Anduril, one of the up-and-coming defense contractors.
Okay.
They're finding it ways to build missile systems, guidance systems, even submarines and submersibles and drones at mass capacity, large production capacity, and very low cost. So this chief technology officer, he is on the cutting edge of what's going on. He began posting this Q-related stuff back in May. He posted a few in June. And then yesterday, suddenly in the morning, on the White House account, the White House posts, we are going to be Q posting today. There is the image. All right. When I saw this, I had to do a double take. I was like, wait a minute. Is this the actual White House account?
Yes. Yes.
So, okay. They got their, you know, 4.8 million followers. It's the White House account. And the first post was, we're going to be, the White House will be Q posting today. Now, that post is a long post. If you scroll all the way to the bottom of all this white space, there's a little, at the bottom it says, and by Q, we mean quantum, stay tuned. All right, so I was like, okay, this is a troll job. The White House is trolling people about Q, and it is gonna have to do with quantum. So then, So there was a briefing yesterday in the Oval Office. President Trump signed two executive orders that are going to basically establish a government oversight and agency. And there's actually a new website. It's, I think it's quantum.gov that is announcing the idea that the United States government under the Trump administration wants to be the world leader in developing quantum technology, quantum computing, quantum cybersecurity, all things quantum. They're just like with artificial intelligence, Trump administration wants to be the world leader in that. Same thing with quantum. So Howard Lutnick, in his introducing the executive order yesterday, basically he put it this way. He said, look, quantum is the next generation of technology that's coming down the road. It's being developed. And what the supercomputer did for information storing, that quantum computing is going to do again, it's going to massively increase the capacity to store and analyze information. Whether that is in the domain of intelligence gathering, whether it is in the domain of cyber security, cyber encryption. And he's described all these different subjects. So think about it this way. If you have a password on your email account, your password is a series of characters, whether it's numbers or letters, you have your email account is locked with a password. And if, for someone to have to try to get into your email account, they'd have to use a brute force attack and try all different kinds of letter and number combinations, trying to figure out what your password is. All right. That is very difficult to do with current generation computers. They don't have the speed and the memory and the processing ability to generate enough characters in enough period of time to hack the average person's email account. But quantum computers do. Quantum computers are another leap forward. Mm-hmm. It would be very easy for a quantum computer to hack an email account or to hack into the NSA database and exfiltrate classified information. So what Howard Lutnick was talking about yesterday is the fact that, and President Trump talked a little bit about it too, is that cybersecurity is a critical element that has to be reckoned with as quantum computing is advanced, and it, so does artificial intelligence, because we'll talk about this later, but AI is a threat. Mm-hmm. To national security. And we'll get into that later. But so what the White House is doing yesterday was they're rolling out quantum, a new policy, set of policies with respect to quantum technology. That's number one. And number two, all these different government accounts are posting all the stuff about Q. I think we've got another post. It actually looks like this is from the... So this is from the Department of War Chief Technology Officer, right? This is the guy I was telling you about. And he posted this. It's a meme, President Trump, big blue neon Q, bluish green, quantum dominance. And the text is, are you enjoying the show? Refill your popcorn. You'll love this next part. American quantum dominance, and the Q in quantum is in brackets. So Q is known for telling patriots, hey, we're in control, get your popcorn, you're going to love this next part, trust Trump, we know what we're doing, right? So these these people in the administration are now, do you have the one with the fake Q post? It looks from the White House. If we could bring
there
that.
There you go.
All right. So I was like, you got to be kidding me. So the White House account posted this yesterday. And it's a mock-up of an actual Q post. If you go to qag.news, you'll see all the Q posts there. And this was what they look like. It's a brown, kind of a brownish black background. It has the post number in the upper left corner. It has all the little icons across.
Number 47.
Number 47 for Trump. It has the trip code, the Q, the message. This looks exactly like a Q post, but this is not an actual Q post. This is a mock-up of a Q post that the White House created and posted. And it says, America will be the world's leader in quantum technologies. Make America great again. So again, like I said, high-level trolling by the White House yesterday in relation to Q. And I think part of their goal is, obviously they wanted to let the world know U.S. is going to be a leader in quantum technology. I think they also want us to know that Trump has the right people in the right positions, mm-hmm. in FBI, Department of Justice, Homeland Security, even Interior. Doug Burgum is doing a great job at the Department of Interior. Chris Wright, Department of Energy, Department of Transportation. The head of DOT is lights out. He's just doing great work in Department of Transportation. Scott Bessent is running the table at the Department of Treasury. So I think with the Q post, trust the plan, patriots are in control. They're trying to get us to not pay attention to the panickins, because there's been a lot of people out on social media saying that Trump screwed up, he's got the wrong people, he got talked into hiring the wrong people. Mm-hmm. I think that the trust the plan, patriots are in control thing coming around now to the White House is an attempt to get people to kind of chill. You know, look, Trump knows what he's doing. I think that we're probably going to see indictments relatively soon with what's being called the grand conspiracy. The conspiracy all the way back to 2016, when the mm-hmm. DOJ and FBI illegally surveilled the Trump campaign, then surveilled Trump as president. It turned into the Mueller investigation, the Russia hoax.
Yep.
I think we're going to see indictments coming out of that relatively soon. There's grand jury is impaneled in Florida, and there's other grand juries impaneled in other states too. We've got confirmation. Actually, Todd Blanche, Attorney General, confirmed there are multiple grand juries in multiple jurisdictions that are hearing evidence related to all that stuff. So I think the messaging is for us to be calm, and wait.
Yeah,
justice is coming. So, you know, that's kind of my take on the Q happenings from the White House yesterday.
I love that they're sharing Q drops, even if they're playing along with it, because again, it is for the quantum. I know you're kind of saying they're kind of trolling, but you know, it's interesting they decided to use that to kind of talk about quantum computing. And I just have a question for you. With quantum computing, does it work hand in hand with AI, or is it its own completely different thing?
I think it's going to work hand in hand with AI. So right now, and I guess we're going to segue to AI. Right now, all these large companies from XAI, Google, Microsoft, all the large tech companies, Facebook, they're all building out these data centers. We had Facebook just built a data center about a mile from my house. Google is building another one.
Really?
Yeah, we got data centers.
What does your town think about that?
It's people are not totally on board with it.
Yeah.
I live in Arizona, and there's a lot of data centers coming in here. They just approved a really big one over in Glendale on the west side of Phoenix. There was a lot of protests and a lot of public commentary that was negative. People didn't want it going in, and the city council approved it anyway. A lot of data centers going in down in Tucson that are being heavily protested against because of excessive use of water and everything else, use of resources, health considerations. I'm concerned that AI is moving at lightning speed, and we're using all of these resources to power these massive data centers. So to answer your question, quantum and AI. So in order to have artificial intelligence that is competitive and does what the people want it to do, you have to have massive computing power. And that's why they're building out all these data centers. You have to store and aggregate and process all of this data in order to run the large language models, the LLMs, that like Claude and OpenAI and XAI and all the other AI programs that are being out there. They have to have very sophisticated, very powerful computers to run the AI program. Mm-hmm. So there's a separation there between companies like Google and Amazon Web that are building the data centers, and then the other companies like Anthropic, which is behind Claude, and then OpenAI, that are creating the AI programs. Mm-hmm. And so quantum computing, I think, is going to, if it works the way I think it will, it will create a quantum leap in technology for compute power. Whereas right now they have to build these massive computer data centers to handle all the data and process it all. That may be able to be done at a much smaller scale once they have quantum computing figured out and the technology to where it is. That's just a guess. You know, I'm not an IT expert, but I think that's probably where it's going.
Thanks for listening. The Elijah Streams podcast is made possible by donations like yours. To become a partner, go to ElijahStreams.com/give.
Okay, so with the data centers, yes, it is to hold information and, you know, all of the data that AI needs to use to run, like you said, OpenAI and all the other things that are going to be used in the world with AI. But I've heard people talk a little bit about it is unto more and more security, cybersecurity, like things like almost like China does, where they take pictures of you everywhere you go.
Surveillance.
Yeah. Do you think it's unto that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So they have these flock cameras now where almost everywhere you go in an urban area, your license plate is being captured and stored at a data center. It's in a file. So they're capturing license plates. They're capturing proximity. If you're driving around most urban areas now, wherever you go, there are cameras at intersections. And okay, when they started out, it's just a traffic camera so people can go on the internet and see, that intersection is kind of congested. I'm not going to go that way. I'm going to take the other way to go to work. Well, they always have this benign, innocuous sounding little doorway to get in and put the cameras in there. And you think, it's just going to help us navigate. And then, no, we're actually going to capture you in real time everywhere you go. Mm-hmm. And look, there is a legitimate use for this. When I was on a grand jury a few years ago, we indicted our grand jury. We indicted some guys who committed some crimes. And the only good evidence that was presented was surveillance footage. If the surveillance footage is not there, you miss part of the evidentiary pattern that can convict somebody of a crime. Mm-hmm. That's the good part of it. The good part of it is, somebody commits a murder, and they think they covered their tracks. They did all the right things, but they got caught. A camera caught them with the license plate at this intersection. Another camera saw them entering here. If you piece together the surveillance footage, you create this pattern of life where a prosecutor could say, well, we know you were here. We've got your license plate. We've got, a photo here from the, you can build a case for a criminal case. That's the positive side of it. The negative side of it is, we know what happens in China. You can't go anywhere in China there's cameras all over the place tracking you. All of your purchases are tracked. Everything you post on social media is tracked. If you post anything that is not liked by the CCP, you may not be able to go to the grocery store and buy food anymore for a few days.
That's right.
The social scoring of everything you do. I'm a science fiction guy. When the Terminator movies came out and there was Skynet, which was essentially a very complex form of artificial intelligence that became self-aware and began to write its own program and develop its own pattern, its own preferred version of history, its own preferred way of surveilling the planet. And the entire planet was enslaved under this horribly oppressive system of artificial intelligence. Yep. Whether it's the CCP or Skynet or some benevolent regime 10 years down the road, I think there are concerns. There are legit concerns. We've seen what can happen if the wrong people are in control of technology. CCP is a really good example. But, a lot of the surveillance technology that China developed is actually being used in Tehran. In Iran, it's just like China. Surveillance cameras everywhere. Everything you say, everywhere you go, every person you talk, it's all recorded, and it's all being analyzed in real time. And they're singling out and executing people. Wow. Or things they say, people they talk to, things they do in real time. That's what the Iranian regime has been doing for a long time. They exported, or they brought into their country wholesale all of the surveillance technology that China was doing. But under the Iranian regime, they were massively executing people who were found to be protesting, speaking against the regime. Right? I mean, we like to think that's not going to happen here in the United States, and I don't think it will. but think about this.
Give up our guns.
Well, what would happen if Nancy Pelosi and Ro Khanna and Chuck Schumer and Barack Obama and that group of people had access to the kind of technology they have in Tehran and in China?
Oh,
we would be living in a scary place.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. Have you heard about in 2027 now they're talking about within cars, they're going to have infrared cameras within all the new makes of cars by 2027 and after. And it's for an initiative that is talked about for safe driving to make sure you're not impaired in any way. This is because you just talked about they're going to bring it on board with, and they always have a reason why.
Right.
Well, the reason for this, they're saying, is because if you're impaired driving, they can either slow the car down, they can make it so you can't drive. If you're yawning a lot while you're driving, that may indicate you may not be okay to continue to drive. So I'd like your thoughts on that.
I have read about that proposed legislation, and they always couch it in the nicest possible terms. We're doing this just for your safety. You know, you want the community to be safe. You don't want drunk drivers out there killing your grandmother, for Pete's sake, do you? So let us install this little thing in your car. It'll keep everybody safe. We won't use it for nefarious purposes. We would never do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes, they would. So with the development of autonomous cars,
mm-hmm.
You know, Elon, when he began building the Tesla cars, he built into them from the very beginning the capability for them to drive autonomously. It was just going to be a software upgrade where in years down the road, you just upgrade the software and then the car can just drive itself.
Mm-hmm.
Elon is building a massive, I won't say army of humanoid robots, but Optimus is a humanoid robot, and he plans to build those out at scale, to the scale of millions, so that people can have in their homes humanoid robots that will do all the cleaning, do the dishes, do your windows, walk your dog, do all the stuff you don't want to do, right? China is building humanoid robots. They're building a literal army of robots, robotic dogs, human robots, and then robotic military vehicles.
Human robots, you mean robots that walk like humans?
And look like not, humanoid. Yeah.
Not like a chip in your
not
brain.
Not cyborgs.
Okay.
Although.
Transhumanists.
Although maybe. No, humanoid, as in it's a robot that looks like a human. It's got two arms, two legs, and a head.
Okay.
China is rapidly building out this army of robots, drones, submersible drones, flying drones, and then land-based military drones, because they know if they can field an army of robots that they're not human,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to have a conscience. You can get them to do just about anything.
Mm-hmm.
You can get them to wage warfare on your terms. You just program them and they'll go out and just annihilate whatever is there. And if they get shot, oh, well, they get shot. They'll just keep going until their battery fries or something happens. And Elon is quite aware, and so is the Defense Department. The guys at the Pentagon are aware that China is working toward building out this AI robotic army.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons, and this is where it gets really difficult. A lot of people are opposed to artificial intelligence being advanced as fast as it is. There's a lot of reason to be concerned. Now, here's mm-hmm. concerns. You were talking about the guardrails for AI.
Yeah.
On the opener. It's unfortunate, but we're in a situation right now where artificial intelligence has advanced so fast that there hasn't been enough time to put in place the guardrails needed to keep it safe. So we're working at light speed to develop artificial intelligence. And just last week, the White House imposed an export ban on the latest Anthropic version of Mythos AI, because they deemed it to be a national security threat. In fact, it wasn't just the White House. When Anthropic released this model, one of their partners, Amazon Web, Amazon is actually one of their biggest investors in Anthropic. They went to Dario, the CEO, and said, we have problems with this. This version, this Mythos, this new release, creates some potential huge cybersecurity problems for NSA. In fact, what happened was NSA got a hold of it, they were using it, and this version, Mythos, hacked into almost all of NSA's highly secret, compartmentalized security information. And so
that's a problem.
That's a problem. When Amazon found that, and Dario at Anthropic, when they heard that, they're like, okay, well, I guess we're going to put in place some guardrails. This is going to be causing a problem, right?
Yeah.
And so there's been this battle going on with Anthropic and the White House and the Defense Department, because back in April, there was a kind of a blow up with Pete Hegseth and Trump and Dario at Anthropic, because Trump and the Defense Department wanted unlimited access to Anthropic's AI models, and Dario wouldn't give them unlimited access. He said, "No, we're not going to do that." And there was a spat going on, and Trump basically said, "We're removing Anthropic from government contracts. They're not going to be allowed. Government contractors will not be allowed to use Anthropic AI models." And there's this big back and forth going on, because Anthropic has Claude and Mythos and all their versions are very, very good, very advanced AI. They're very sharp, very capable models. But the people who work at Anthropic, a lot of them are actually Biden administration leftovers. So the people who worked in the Department of AI in the Biden administration, when Trump came in, those people from the Biden administration all went to work at Anthropic. And they had kind of set up the ground rules to favor Anthropic as the winner in this competition for AI. So let me real quickly describe this. There's a bunch of different companies that are developing AI models. Facebook, Sam Altman has OpenAI, which started out with Elon Musk, and it was going to be open source intelligence. And then Altman did a rug pull on Elon and took it private. Elon's been pretty pissed off about that ever since then. Elon XAI, they have their thing. Anthropic has Claude and various iterations. Google has Gemini, right? There's all these different companies that are building out AI models.
Yep.
There's massive competition to see who is going to have the best AI model at the end of a couple of years. The experts who are looking at this are suspect there's only going to be one or two AI models in a couple of years. Whoever has the best, fastest growing, is able to get the money to keep investing and building, is going to be the winner. And so getting back to the guardrails, the AI developers have been telling the public that AI is dangerous. All right. So if you look at statements from Sam Altman and Dario and even Elon said 2 years ago, he said in an interview, if AI is not properly regulated, there's an 80% chance it's going to lead to the destruction of mankind. Elon understood that AI has to have safety and guardrails in place, or it's going to lead to destruction, right? All of these guys know that. But it's concerning because Dario and to some extent Sam Altman with OpenAI, they have been sort of doom trolling the public over AI. They keep coming out with these public statements saying AI is dangerous. AI has to be regulated. Mm-hmm. AI is, you know, and we're the ones you can trust. What they're doing is they're making this case that AI is so dangerous that you have to have people you trust developing it and building the guardrails. And they're making that case that they are the ones who should be controlling it. So although the concerns about artificial intelligence are legitimate, the AI builders are not doing themselves any favors by continually releasing statements claiming that these models are extremely dangerous and have to be properly regulated and properly, it has to be proper oversight, mm-hmm. and then making the case that they're the ones who should be the gatekeepers. That's what they're doing. They're saying, this thing has to be put behind a gate and you have to give us the lock and the key. We have to be the ones to control it. It's a power play. And so now we're in this situation where who is going to be the one to set the regulations, the restrictions, the control mechanisms to keep this from, you know, hacking into the nuclear codes and starting a nuclear war. I mean, that's the kind of thing that we're talking about. If yeah. someone could use an AI model to hack into things like, you know, advanced weapon systems, nuclear codes, it creates all kinds of problems. And the AI makers are not making this any better. They're causing more problems from my perspective.
Okay, so what do you believe can be a solution to kind of, the ball's already rolling and it seems like it's picking up speed. So then what do we do from here?
And what a question.
It's a loaded question.
That's a loaded question. I have a minority opinion on this whole AI thing. On the one hand, it's very easy to make the case that we live in a new century. We live in a new generation where artificial intelligence is just going to become the norm. You're going to have to adjust to it, adapt, and live with it. If you don't want to, that's fine. You can continue living like we did, you know, for the last 50 years.
Well, the Amish don't have it and they're fine.
Right. Exactly. What God has been showing me over the last 5 years is a world that looks a lot more like it did 100 years ago.
Mm.
With no computers, no cell phones, mm. no internet.
Wow.
And going back to how things were basically in the 1920s.
Okay, God, I have to ask you, do you believe that'd be from like a massive EMP situation, or do you believe people actually will willingly say, I don't want to do this anymore?
Oh, crap. So I had this dream 3 years ago, and I've had several dreams related to President Trump, you know, at war. Mm-hmm. Trump is a wartime president in a lot of the dreams. I saw that we were going to war with different countries over the last 5 years. And then 3 years ago, I had a dream where I was walking through a debris field. It looked like a massive blast had just destroyed the city. And I was walking through this debris field. It was just wood and tile and broken glass. And it was just a wasteland. And I was walking through, I picked up what I knew was a 2-meter amateur radio antenna. I just picked it up and I took out of my hand, out of my pocket, a Geiger counter. And I swept the antenna with a Geiger counter looking for signs of radiation. And I kept the antenna and I kept walking. And then I found another antenna and I did the same thing. I scanned it for radiation. that's
was it beeping?
Yes. That's the kind of thing that God has been showing me. I'm not saying we're going to have nuclear war.
Because
sometimes
Dreams are symbolic.
Right. Well, yes, some dreams are symbolic. Some dreams are literal, and God gives you the dream, so you pray and intercede against that particular thing happening, right? Mm-hmm. So me and Denise have been praying for, you know, for the last 5 years that there will not be nuclear war, that there will not be a devastating, you know, cataclysmic type of event.
Yeah.
Help Elijah Streams continue to reach people around the world. All donations go toward making Elijah Streams and the Elijah Streams podcast possible. Visit ElijahStreams.com/give and become a partner today.
I don't know what is coming, but God has been continually, just like I said, for 5 years, hitting me with this revelation, suggesting that the way we live right now, the way we communicate, the way we travel, the way everything, it's going to be different in the future, and it's going to be much more like it was 100 years ago. So again, like I said, a Minority Report. I know that, that may sound crazy to a lot of people, but that's just what God's showing me.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm concerned that we're moving at light speed with artificial intelligence, quantum technology, quantum computing, and there have been no guardrails put in place. And now we have some AI models that are basically that they've been jailbroke, and they're kind of out there. I mean, the CCP can certainly get a hold of Claude or Mythos and any of the late, they're going to be coming out with more advanced AI models in the next year. And if the CCP gets a hold of one, or if Kim Jong-un, or if the Iranian regime or some other bad actor gets a hold of or develops their own very powerful AI model, we're in trouble. And I wanted to say real quickly that there's this issue that we're in a catch-22. A lot of people have very legitimate concerns about health problems with data centers going up in all these residential areas, sucking up all of our power, sucking up all of our water supply. Those are all legitimate concerns.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But we're kind of in this catch-22, because if we do not develop artificial intelligence at a rate faster than the CCP does, we're going to be at a major disadvantage. And that is what is driving this AI race.
I understand. Yeah.
It's if we don't do it, do we want China to have the only truly powerful AI technology that they can then use to enslave us?
Right. Of course not.
That's that. If we don't develop AI, that's the situation that we're going to end up with.
Mm-hmm.
So we're damned if we do, and we're damned if we don't. I mean, it's a very difficult situation.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, a lot of us can, you talked about, you know, where there's things you're going to have to live with, as AI comes. It's just going to be a part of, life, a part of what you use or what you do. But like in my house, we don't have an Alexa or whatever those things you talk to.
Right.
Just because I just don't want one. I just don't really use Siri. I don't know. I'll just type it in. You know, I don't need to ask. It's not like it's hurting, but I just personally choose not to. I would choose not to have a car that would scan me with an infrared camera as long as I possibly can. I would not buy one of those vehicles, just because I don't want that, you know, in my life. Now, am I doing anything bad where I'm drinking and driving? No, I don't even drink. So I'm not drinking and driving, but I still don't want to allow that into my life if I don't have to. I think a lot of people live that way with AI.
Yep.
They just, they opt out when they can.
Yeah. And that's I think that's the responsible position to have. Like, I use artificial intelligence on a regular basis.
For?
Well, for a lot of different things. here's an example. I have a couple of WordPress websites that I run for our ministry, right? And last week, I had a problem with my website. They both crashed. And I was like, I knew this was coming, because I had gotten a warning on my website that my PHP version that my web host was using was out of date, and I got a warning saying you better update your PHP version or you're not going to be able to have your website displayed. And I was like, oh, I don't want to deal with this problem, because this is like web designing and technology stuff. So I let it go. And then, like I said, last week I woke up and boom, my websites were toast. Oh, they're just nothing there. So I quick got on Claude. I said, hey, Claude, I have a couple of WordPress websites. I'm using this theme. I'm using this version of PHP. I know that I got a warning saying that I had to upgrade my PHP, but I tried to do it. And when I upgraded my PHP version, it broke the website. So help me figure out what to do to get my website running again. So Claude's like, okay, here's the first thing you do. Go to 8 theme where you bought the theme, download the latest theme, download the latest plugin, and turn off, go to your website to, I host my websites on SiteGround. Go to SiteGround, go to the website manager, turn off all your plugins, disable them. And then install the latest theme, install this, install that. Start one by one, turn the plugins. I'm like, in like 15 minutes, I had both of my websites running again.
Oh, wow. Well, that was a good use of it.
Thanks to Claude. I'm building a bunch of solar-powered radios, and I'm not an electrical engineer. I don't know. I don't solder. I don't know anything about this stuff. I go to ChatGPT, and I'm like, okay, riddle me this, ChatGPT. I need to build a solar radio, and it needs to fit in this size box. And what kind of solar panel? What kind of battery? How do I wire it? How do I do all this stuff? And ChatGPT is like, easy, Dave. Don't worry, man. I'll just walk you through everything. So I use AI on a regular basis, and I find it very helpful. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's that
but
stuff.
But you're not going to have a humanoid robot in your home.
Well, no, we're not going to have a TV in our house. We are a very low technology house. We don't have Alexa, Siri. We don't have any of that stuff. We don't have a TV. We don't even stream TV, movies or anything. Mm-hmm. We are like you. We're avoiding a lot of the technology. We're not going to have a self-driving car. We're not going to have, you know, Amazon drones flying over our house, picking up our, dropping off our food and stuff.
Yeah.
We're limiting our exposure to AI to what I think is a reasonable exposure that helps us, lets us get something positive out of it, mm-hmm. without buying in and getting the hook where you can't navigate to the hardware store without using a mapping program.
Right. But
that's one of the things that is dangerous. Just think about this. If Google Maps went down, or whatever mapping program you use to get to navigate someplace, went down for a week, how easy would it be for you to find the places you need to drive to? Would you be able to drive there by memory, just knowing where they are? Or would you, how would your life be affected if Google Maps was gone and you had to use an actual paper map? Do you even have an actual paper map?
Oh,
boy. Do you know how to read a map? Would you be able to navigate to get places if you had to, like we did 20 years ago?
Does MapQuest still work?
That's the problem. That's the issue. If you rely on the technology too much, if the technology goes away, you're like, oh man, you gotta be kidding me. I have to figure out how to map and get places and without the app telling me how to get there. There is some risk, and you can minimize the risk by opting out whenever possible. Instead of just hitting the app and having it navigate you, once in a while, just say, you know what? I'm going to actually pull out my little map here, my little atlas, and I'm going to try to figure this out on my own for once, just to see if I still have mapping skills. Or if you're under 35, maybe you need to develop mapping skills you've never had. Because if There are a bunch of things you can have. I think what is a realistic scenario. We already know, based on multiple FBI reports, that CCP and the Islamic regime have infiltrated American critical infrastructure. Mm-hmm. So everything from water control systems and hydroelectric dams and power generation facilities to internet mm-hmm. services to cell phone services, they have hacked all of those systems. FBI has been putting out reports. CISA and Homeland Security have been putting out reports. Mm-hmm. Volt Typhoon and all these other programs that used to hack our critical infrastructure. Mm-hmm. CCP has access to all of that stuff. They can take it down whenever they want. Mm. We've been in a Cold War. I think we'd call it the Cold War II. We've been in this Cold War with China for a long time. It hasn't gone to the point where we're exchanging fire by tanks and mortars and missiles and rockets. But there's definitely a cyber war has been going on. A propaganda war has been going on. The CCP has been sending in spies. They've been photographing military bases. They're buying up land next to military bases. they're doing a lot to prepare themselves in the event that we end up in an actual hot war with them. And at any time, they could take down cell service. They could take down internet pages. They can take down mobile apps. Mm-hmm. With very advanced models of AI, they could do a lot more damage. Mm-hmm. So you might ask yourself periodically, what would happen if I woke up tomorrow, mm-hmm. my phone will not connect, and my computer won't connect, and I can't get to email, and I can't get to mapping services, and I can't even get to X or Facebook. I don't even know what's going on. Do I even have a radio where maybe I can hear what's happening? What happened? Suddenly everything goes dark. Mm-hmm. Would you be able to, you know, to function in that kind of a world where cell phones and internet just vanished for like a couple of days or a couple of weeks? Mm-hmm. It's something to just think about, because it is possible. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not trying to spread doom porn, but there are entities out there that are working against us, and so far it hasn't become overtly hostile, but at some point in the future it could.
Well, you're giving a lot of pros for quantum in my head now, where I'm thinking, I think it's good. Quantum could be faster and more prepared and more protected. The grid or whatever could probably be better protected with quantum. Do you think that's one of, like, for security reasons?
Yeah, exactly. If we have a leg up on China with respect to cybersecurity, if we can create more secure systems than China has, if mm-hmm. we can create security systems that they can't hack, that makes us much more safe. And I think that's where the Trump administration is trying to get us, to where we are technologically leaps ahead of the CCP, and we have a more secure systems that are more difficult for them to hack.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. Your advice for people watching, is to think about, if something were to happen, what would you do?
Yeah.
And what would you do, Dave? Are you a prepper?
Yes.
Yes, you are. I knew it.
I actually wrote a book. I wrote a book called Emergency Preparedness and Off-Grid Communication.
Oh, wow.
So the book covers two different but related topics. The first mm-hmm. half of the book covers basic emergency preparedness, everything from putting food aside, storing water, solar and propane power. Mm-hmm. There is a chapter on mapping, navigating with a map, how to use a map, mm-hmm. Navigating by stars, using compass, usual preparedness stuff. There's some handgun safety information in there. There's a chapter on how to survive a nuclear war.
Oh, wow.
Because unlike what most people think, if we ever did have a nuclear war, there's a likelihood that 75 to 80% of the population would survive, would not be killed in a nuclear war. And there's things you need to know in the aftermath of a nuclear exchange that will help you thrive after that event. So there's a chapter on that. And then there's several chapters on radio, all the different ways you can communicate using radio if we don't have internet, don't have cell phones. There's a bunch of different options about how you can communicate with people in your neighborhood, the city level, at the statewide level, and around the world that a lot of people don't think about. How would I talk to my neighbors? How would I talk to people across town? Like, what's going on the East Coast? How do I figure that out? There's ways to do it. And that's what the book is about. It's emergency communication and preparedness. So if you're interested in learning about that stuff, it's a good book.
Okay. What is your thought about, so let's talk more biblical now. So
no,
let's switch quickly. So, you're prepared in that way. But what about spiritually? How are you preparing spiritually? Because you don't want people to get into fear and go, oh my goodness, and then have all these thoughts. So how are you preparing spiritually? How would you encourage our viewers listening to this and say, listen, not to get into fear as a believer, how to walk in faith, even in hard, very hard situations, let's say the most extreme, hardest situation ever if something were to happen like that?
Yep. All right. The last chapter in that book that you guys just
bring it back up. No, I'm just kidding.
Emergency preparedness and off-grid communication. The last chapter of that book is a short distillation of my perspective on the life of faith, preparing for crisis, preparing for emergencies, and that they're not mutually exclusive. So I know a lot of preppers who are controlled by fear. And you don't ever want fear to control you. You don't want to go out and do impulse buying, buy a bunch of canned foods and buy some guns and ammo because you're fearful. Mm-hmm. You never want to operate out of fear. You want to operate out of revelation. You want God to direct your ways. Mm-hmm. And the only reason I got into any of this is because God was giving me dreams. He's like, okay, well, hey, Dave, it's time for you to start thinking about this issue. So go get some stuff and then learn about how to use it. And when you're done with that, I'll tell you some more stuff to get in that, learn how to use that. Mm-hmm. So, if you guys know me, you know that my calling card is physical healing, hearing God's voice, emotional healing, seeing visions, the revelatory realms of heaven. That's my wheelhouse. All right. Think about this. If there's a crisis, let's say the CCP takes down the power grid and takes down internet and cell service tomorrow. So there's no power, no cell service, no internet in your area. The hospital is running on generators. If you call 911, no one answers because your cell phone doesn't work. And you've got people in your neighborhood who are frightened and terrified and panicked. Mm-hmm. Some of them are now injured because they're stumbling around in the dark and they broke some glass and they're bleeding. Mm-hmm. One of them has a dislocated hip. You go over to your neighbor's house and your neighbor has a dislocated hip and the ambulance isn't coming to take them to the hospital. You're the only hope they have. So what you're going to do is you're going to walk up to them and say, hey, Jane, you look like your hip is kind of jacked up here. Mind if I pray for you? And you lay your hand on that dislocated hip. And in the name of Jesus, you command ligaments and nerves and muscles and bones to be healed and restored and made new. So we become the emergency medical people. And after, let's say after a week, nobody has any food in your neighborhood. You say, well, hey guys, come over to my house. I've been praying over the canned food that I have. And every day I wake up, there's more food there. I just keep praying over it and God keeps multiplying the food. All right. This is not a silly idea. Jesus taught the disciples how to multiply food. He taught them how to heal the sick.
Yes.
He taught them how to work miracles.
Yes.
In any crisis, we are the answer to the crisis. God works through us to work miracles. All right. The first part of faith is, like I said, if God shows you something that's coming, if God shows you a catastrophe, shows you some disaster, your first thing, your first responsibility is to pray against it.
Mm-hmm.
That's first thing. God has shown me some horrible stuff, and I'm just like, okay, I'm going to believe that's not going to happen, and I pray against it.
Yeah.
Praying against the demonic system that wants that to come to pass.
Yes.
So you pray against disaster, and you pray against calamity. If it comes, if the cell phone service goes out, internet goes out, then you become the person of peace in the midst of chaos. So you become the resource in your community where people are like, well, you know what? I know this guy down the street. Like, he prays for people and they get healed. So we're going to take you to this guy's house and he's going to pray for you and he's going to get you healed. And by the way, they multiply food like crazy. So we'll get food while we're there too. And somehow he has endless supply of water. I don't know where that's coming from, but he just says water for everybody. If we become the community resource for healing, for water, for food, when there is none, when the grocery store shelves are empty and people just know they can come over to your place and like, hey, you know, they're going to have somehow the guy even has dog food. He doesn't have a dog, but he has some bags of dog food showing up in his pantry. So we'll go get the dog food from him. I know this may sound silly, but it's not. That is literally the plan that God has shown me.
Mm-hmm.
Shown me. It's not just about how many cans of, you know, beef stew you can put up in your pantry, or how many mm-hmm. bags of rice you can store up. It's also about becoming a person who in any crisis can have a level head and say, look, God is bigger than this problem and God is going to take care of it. If you have that faith, if you know your maker, if you know God and you know that he can work miracles, you're going to sail through this crap and you're not going to be afraid. You will lead people to the Lord. You may lead your entire neighborhood to the Lord.
That's right. Yeah. That's so true. Yeah, read the New Testament. You will see the many, many miracles as the disciples went out and they walked through a lot of hard times. I mean, read Paul's life.
We are living in the book of Acts right now. we're supposed to be doing the same stuff they're doing.
Yes, you know, yes, exactly. Day. Okay, well, Dave, would you pray for all of us before we close the show today? Just that we would have that same type of faith that... Well, I guess we just need the faith the size of a mustard seed. So just pray that we would be filled with that, even during these times of AI and everything else.
Yeah, I will pray. Lord, give the listeners faith that moves mountains, faith that works miracles. Give them revelation. Give them dreams and visions and angelic visitations. Lord, I ask you to come and visit them personally. Show them your will. Show them your plan. Teach them to trust the plan. Trust your plan. Not man's plans, but God's plans. Lord, fill them with faith. Teach them to work miracles. Teach them to walk in confidence because they know you and know what you can do. They have a history with you. And they will not ever cave in to the temptation to be fearful or frightened. Lord, let them walk in total, complete confidence in every season, in every storm. Let them walk confidently in the knowledge that you love them and you're going to take care of them and you can provide all their needs. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen.
Amen. You have a podcast, right? And you're a big writer. So share a little bit about how people can listen to your content and read your articles and stuff like that.
Okay. My latest book, Spiritual Warfare Made Simple. We're cranking out the books. We've published 27 books now since 2014.
There's
10 books in the Made Simple series now.
Wow.
So I write fiction, written science fiction. I love writing science fiction. There it is, Spiritual Warfare Made Simple. That's the second book on spiritual warfare. The first one is Freedom from Evil Spirits Made Simple. That book we published in January is about deliverance. This book, Spiritual Warfare Made Simple, is about the broader kind of corporate approach to spiritual warfare. And you're right. I love writing. I have an endless stream of ideas for books that I'm going to write. Yes, I do podcasting. I'm getting back into podcasting a little bit. I took a break from it because I love writing, but my podcast is on Podbean. It's on Apple Podcasts, all the usual podcast places. If you go to my website, prayingmedic.com, there's even a podcast tab. You can hit the podcast tab and you can just listen to my podcast on the website there, prayingmedic.com, prayingmedic.org. Our nonprofit ministry is hosted on prayingmedic.org. And we receive donations through GiveSendGo. The URL is givesendgo.com/PM. That's where we receive financial support. Podcasting, writing, political commentary, healing, miracles, signs and wonders, dreams. I have a lot of subjects I'm interested in.
Yes. Mentoring. You do teaching things as well.
Amateur radio, mesh radio. Mentor. I love mentoring. I really do. Who has the time for it though? That's the question.
Yep. That is very true. Well, you keep yourself busy and God wants you that way so you can help as many people as possible. And I know that's your heart for sure. Dave, thank you so much for coming on and sharing the truth all about AI and how we don't have to be in fear over it. And I think these are exciting days for many reasons. And I believe many will come to the Lord through things they plan for evil. God will turn it for good. So Dave, yeah. We love you so much. Thanks for joining us. And thank all of you for watching today. Tomorrow, Robin Bullock will be joining Steve on the show. You won't want to miss it. We'll see you then. Love you so much. Bye-bye.
This has been Elijah Streams. Thanks for listening. For more episodes like this, you can listen to the Elijah Streams podcast at ElijahStreams.com, on Apple, and Spotify. Join us live every weekday at 11 a.m. Pacific time at ElijahStreams.com, Rumble, and Facebook. Elijah Streams is part of Elijah List Ministries. Go to ElijahStreams.com/give to become a partner today.